What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 256, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Oh, just ready to get into some review chat and, you know, CES chat, just new product chat.
Yeah, we are here on Thursday instead of Wednesday. Yep. I wanted to watch the hockey game since hockey is back. I'm pretty excited about
that. So that's what it was. I was wondering. I was like, maybe he wants to wait till Thursday for any product announcements from CES.
You know what's crazy is companies are announced. A lot of companies did announce most of the things actually on Monday. Mm-hmm. But there are some companies that are going to be announcing things through next week that I know of. So there's going to be a lot of...
Okay.
What more things that you haven't heard of just yet? At least, what is today, 14th? What day is the 17th?
Sunday.
There's an announcement on the 17th of something. So,
okay.
I just want to watch a hockey game. Like,
all right.
That's all right. But thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us here on a Thursday. Next week, we should be back to our normal Wednesday. But definitely a lot to talk about. We have one review and a case on Friday, and then we'll definitely get into the CES stuff. So if you are in the live chat and you want to follow along, we have our full show notes page that you guys can go ahead and check out. It has everything that we're going to be talking about. So you can go ahead and follow along. That link is in the description of the video that you're watching. If for some reason you can't find it, if you go to the website and just type or go right here where it says podcast, click on there, and it would be the first one right under there. So you should be, you know, easily be able to find it. But let's jump into reviews. And our only review this week comes from Samsung. And it is their 980 Pro PC Express 4.0 NVMe SSD. Samsung was a little late to the Gen 4 game, I would say. Mm-hmm. We actually saw the prototype. It was just this drive in a glass box at last year's CES, surprisingly. And we thought we would see it a lot sooner. This drive came out towards the end of last year, so it's not like this has been out for a while. So many people were waiting for Samsung to get on to Gen 4. I think it had a lot to do with the actual controller and getting everything kind of ready. But they're here now with a Gen 4 drive. So if you do have a X570 or B550 motherboard, this is definitely a drive you're going to want to check out. It's your standard 80 millimeter NVMe drive, M.2. The interesting thing about it, every other Gen 4 drive that we reviewed came with a heatsink. This one does not. It comes just like this, how you would see it.
And the sticker doesn't have any sort of, it's not like a copper sticker like you've seen.
No. Okay. So on this side, you just have the sticker. On the opposite side, you have this little thing, and this is actually copper.
Okay.
But it's on the back.
To get and the back side there.
Yeah, it gives it a little bit of cooling. But this is single-sided, so it will fit in a laptop if you want to go that route as well. And so it's like it's your typical drive. As far as performance, it is the fastest drive that we've ever tested. We'll go into some of that. Actually, before we do that, I've never used Samsung's like SSD toolbox software before. I don't think I ever have. They have this thing called Samsung Magician. Because you would think a big company like Samsung, they have to have something good, but like every piece of SSD toolbox software that I've used kind of feels like.
Yeah, they're not polished.
They're not
very user-friendly.
They're not.
I saw these screenshots and I was like, wow, this looks like a pretty nice app.
Yeah, so you can do a lot in here. I'm not going to go over all of it, but I would say that if you are like a novice or even if you're a beginner, you can easily use this software. So even like you can just run like a benchmark to see, okay, is it running at Gen 4 speeds? Or, you know, if you're on a B550, you want to make sure it's in the right slot, things like that. You can actually change the over-provisioning of the drive if you want. So, you know, you can set it to recommended, but you can set a custom percent to have your over provisioning on the drive. You can set up performance optimization. You can do a secure erase. This drive is fully encrypted if you want to enable it. So you can, you know, fully encrypt this drive. That's something that some other drives don't offer. So you have that as well. But yeah, this software is super awesome. It's easy, like it's just a simple download, and it allows you to monitor all of your drives, which is really, really nice. But getting into performance, I'm sure that's what you guys definitely want to see. Definitely the fastest drive that we've ever reviewed. This is Sandra Physical Disk Benchmark. Our read score, Derek said, holy smokes, 82C and it throttled. Yeah, we'll talk about that in here in a second. so about just over six gigabytes a second read and around 4.39 gigabytes a second write, which is very, very fast. AutoDisk Benchmark. Now, as Derek was saying in the chat, you can see it definitely gets, you know, super pretty fast, over 6 gigabytes a second and around 4.5 gigabytes a second write, but then it drops off. That has to do with thermal throttling, which we will talk about. Moving on to Crystal Diskmark, as you can see, 6,500 megabytes a second read and 4,800 megabytes a second write. Similar scores going through ASSD Benchmark, and then we have their other benchmarks in there. Anvil, right around the same. PC Mark 8, very, very good score there. The interesting thing that I really like to see here is that, one, your read benchmark is pretty much solid across the board. And then your write benchmark through at 8 to 64. So these two benchmarks either read or write the entire drive. It's not just like a little test like a lot of the other ones were. This reads and writes the entire drive. And the interesting thing here is that you have a solid write for 60% of the drive, which is like you don't typically see. It drops off, but then it comes back up, which is really weird. I've never seen this before, where it like recovers. Mm-hmm. That has a lot to do with the controller. There's not a whole lot known about the controller or the NAND on this. I think Samsung kind of keeps that to themselves. But everything on this is made by Samsung. NAND, cache, controller, everything, firmware, obviously is made by Samsung. Now, as Derek said, this drive does have the possibility to overheat. Now, I do have to say that pretty much every B550 board and every X570 board comes with heat sinks for your M.2 drive. I do not know of one that for the Gen 4, especially on B550, like that top one, I don't know of a motherboard that does not support, that does not have an M.2
on it. It's just a bare M.2.
Yeah. Slot. I don't know of one. But this drive does ship without a heatsink. So I tested it without a heatsink. And in that regard, it did overheat. So if you look again, this is our AutoDisk benchmark. As you can see, as it goes through the test, it's scoring good, and then the performance drops. And you wonder, I was like, that's really weird, especially here towards the end. It really gets crushed. And I'm like, you know, is it overheating? So I put a heatsink on it, and I run it again, and it's perfect across the board, as you can see. So using their software, I took the heatsink off, and then I ran the drive again at idle 49C, which is pretty standard for an M.2 drive. That's just kind of sitting there. So 49 degrees without the heatsink on idle. And then when I did run the AutoDisk benchmark, it went up to 82C. And I actually had this open while I was running it. And you could see when it drops, like right about here, it hits 82C and then the performance drops. So that's something you might want to consider. But as I said, every X570 motherboard that I know of and B550, all of the M.2 slots on the X570 and that top M.2 slot, which is Gen 4 on B550, they all have heat sink. So it's not something you're going to necessarily need to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, unless you put it in there and don't put the heat sink back on, right?
Yeah.
And even then, it took quite a bit of pushing that drive for it to throttle, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, that's something to to consider, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and recommended award. It's priced very well too. It's the 512 gigabyte version that I reviewed is $139.99. Comes with a 5-year warranty. It is their Pro Series drive. So you do get the hardware encryption on the drive. If you're going to use this in a business setting, that's mainly where a lot of people want to use it. You could use it with the BitLocker. But I think it's really good. It's offered, I believe, in 256, 512, and 1 terabyte. Could be wrong on that. I think it is.
What I had seen as well.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really good drive. If you're doing Gen 4, it's an awesome drive. And it is the fastest drive that we've ever tested. So that just tells you enough right there. You know, with Samsung, it's like we do see some new brands coming up with Gen 4 drives, or maybe not as well known brands. You know that 5-year warranty is going to be good because it's Samsung. So there's not a whole lot to worry about. And their whole like RMA process or anything like that when it comes to warranty is really easy to do. So that gives you a little bit of peace of mind there as well. So cool. Definitely check out that review again. The fastest.
That's so fast. That's,
yeah.
Like you look at the, I don't remember which graph it was, but you compare it to like the Aorus drive you looked at, and I think the Sabrent drive, and it's like magnitude. Well, not a full magnitude, but like it's a huge difference. Yeah. Like these crystal mark screens, right? You can tell, okay, well, we've looked at 3 Gen 4 drives.
Yeah.
And just the jump between even it and the next two down, and then obviously the Gen 3 drives is so much faster.
So these two Gen 4 drives that we, this was like the first initial. The
early, right.
Yeah, the first controllers that were available. And again, Samsung took their time to work on their controller, to work on their firmware, to do everything, to have a drive that performs well and doesn't have a lot of the other issues as far as long writes. I mean, you could write to this drive for 60% of the drive, which is a lot, before you run into any performance issues. The only performance issue, as I said, is the heat if you don't use a heatsink. So,
right.
Like I said, it's miles beyond those first, that first round of Gen 4 drives that we've tested. So, like I said, I would highly recommend it if you have X570, B550. It's definitely worth getting this drive. I would run this in all of my like new Ryzen systems for sure. So yeah, definitely go ahead and check that out. That brings us to Case Mod Friday, and we have the Shockwave build. And I'm sure Ryan, you're gonna like this one.
Yep.
This is from Lunar K9 Customs. I don't think we featured him before, so
it doesn't sound familiar. No,
yeah, it doesn't sound familiar. This is in the Inwin 925, which you have.
Yep.
I like that. So we see so much RGB in different colors, but like this,
the black, it's so sweet.
I guess this is purple or what? Yeah, it just goes so well with. I guess this is black coolant. Black coolant.
Yeah.
It just goes so well together in this, right? And I do have to say, like this case, which I reviewed, if you max it out with the fans, it just looks so awesome inside.
I mean, like they're cooling the memory on this, you know, and like this loop is just sick.
Yeah, looks all great. And like the chrome fittings just look awesome. All the colors are really well done on this too. It's using the MSI. What is that board? The
Creator.
The X299 Creation board, which looks awesome. The cable routing, and I do like. Yeah. So we do see cable routing a lot, but then like that they've taken the time to do the tubing on the back, so it just kind of meshes well. Like it just looks so good. You know what I mean? Yeah. And the fact that, you know, you can show that off.
My build isn't going to be quite this cool, unfortunately. But
I think your build's going to be good. I'm excited to see your build whenever.
Hopefully that's going to happen this weekend. That's the initial plan. So,
yeah. But yeah. And he put this I guess you would call that a mid plate. And I guess it goes up through the, it's a whole motherboard tray kind of mid plate deal. Basically, I think he did it one to make it look cleaner and for more of like kind of like a reflection. It kind of, you know, you get that little reflection there. So very cool stuff. Definitely check it out. Again, from Lunar K9 Customs. Just, yeah, man.
It's like, you don't see a lot of the, memory cooling and a lot of these builds that we show off, and it's a full parallel loop there. It looks amazing. I was looking at this a lot and real close the other day, like trying to figure out, all right, so that's how I want my radiators to be, and can I, you know, is that 90, like in that top right corner, is that 90 degree bend doable? Well, yep, it is. So like that's something I can consider doing on my build to you know, make that loop work. So just trying to get ideas.
Yeah. And that's the best thing about when we feature these builds, it's like, you can get an idea. If you have the same case, you can see, okay, he did this in this case. This is what I'm going to take inspiration from and look at it and see, you know, that's why I love doing these, because it's like, wow, this is possible. Wow. This looks crazy. I never thought about doing something like this. You know, so, and it's just to show these off, like, this is what you can do. Like, this is what's possible, which I love. So definitely check this one out. As I always say, we have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So if obviously we have hundreds and hundreds of builds, so you can just keep on going through and check everything out and really see, like, it's just, like I said, just get some inspiration. So definitely worth checking out. So let's move on to news. And it is CES week, which feels so weird to be home.
Yeah,
man, it's just crazy, because typically we're in Vegas, we're running around, we're getting interviews, we're taking video, we're
because it's Thursday, so this would typically be like our last meetings day, maybe one or two on a Friday and like show floor on the Friday, but yeah, we're usually deep in it still at this point.
Yeah, so it does feel really weird. I guess this is like what it's like for people that aren't there that are reporting on the show, because, you know, but there was a lot that has been released and talked about. We're not going to go over everything because we would be here for hours. We're going to go over some of the stuff that I think were the big things, at least for us, you know, PC enthusiasts. These are kind of like the big announcements of the show so far. The first one is from NVIDIA. They did announce the weird RTX 3060 12 gig card.
They may not like us calling it weird, but I think it's like it weird.
Semi makes sense looking at the specs, but so this sits below the RTX 3060 Ti. This is the RTX 3060 officially. It does have 12 gigabytes of VRAM. So this is actually based on a new chip. So it is the 3060 Ti is the GA104. This is the GA106. Real quick, Derek said, by the way, Case Mod Friday was the eye catcher that drew me to your website channel. That's awesome. That's why we like to do it. I love Case Mods. I honestly wish I was that creative and that was like, I would love to just do builds like that, but I'm not that creative. And I don't think I'm like all those guys are like so good with like the Dremel and like all that. I'm just not that guy. So that's awesome, Eric. We, you know, like I said, every week more Case Mods. But yeah, so this the 3060 is based on the GA106, which is new, and it's not going to consume as much power as the GA104, which the 3060 Ti is based off. So it's going to give you 3,584 CUDA cores, 112 TMUs. You're also going to get RT cores and Tensor cores. So you have 112 RT cores and 28 Tensor cores. So far down the line, we're not seeing that break where cards don't have ray tracing and don't have all those features. Because we did see that with both, technically both with the 20 series, we saw that break where you saw that like weird 1660 GTX and they weren't called RTX. We haven't seen that yet, which is good. The card has a TDP of 170 watts. The 12 gig of VRAM, it's 17 gigabit GDDR6. It's running across a 192-bit interface. So I believe the 3060 Ti runs across a 256-bit interface, but it only has 8 gigabytes. So that's the big difference. Base clock of the card is 1320 megahertz. It will boost up to 1780 megahertz. Availability is set for late February. Now, they show this picture, which we have here, of this card. The interesting thing I saw about this card is that it has one fan, whereas everything above the 3060 Ti and above has two fans. I went to the NVIDIA website for the 3060 series. They actually have pictures of the 3060 Ti. They don't have any pictures of a 3060, and they have this slide that they released, which does not show a
Founder's Edition. Are we going to see a Founder's Edition or not?
I don't think we are. It just doesn't seem like we are. But it is priced at $329, which is very affordable.
Yeah.
And it makes it the most affordable card with 12 gigabytes of VRAM.
That EVGA card there looks so tiny compared to all the others.
Yeah.
You know? So that pricing is pretty pretty attractive. I don't know if we have any stories regarding pricing. I know
we do. Yeah, we do.
So I don't know if we want to talk about that yet, or we'll just cover it then.
Yeah, that is actually the next story. So, so this all makes sense. I think that it's a $70 difference in price from the 3060 Ti. It's not like 20 or 30. Mm-hmm. So it puts it in its own category, I would say. Makes gaming more affordable. You still get RT and Tensor cores. That helps a lot more with DLSS. So gamers who want to run at 4K instead of 1440 can do it with DLSS, and can't tell the difference, which I think is more important than real-time ray tracing. So I like it. I like the price. Again, our next story is related to price. So we first saw it last week.
Asus
Asus increased their prices across the board on graphics cards. EVGA and Zotac have done the same thing. EVGA put out a notice, Zotac just did it. So EVGA put out a notice that said, due to ongoing events, EVGA has made price adjustments on the GeForce RTX 30 series products. This change was necessary due to several factors that will be effective January 11th, 2021, which was, Monday? Yeah. Mm-hmm. EVGA has worked to reduce and minimize these costs as much as possible. For those who are currently in their EVGA notify queue system for step-up queue, EVGA will honor the original MSRP through April 16th, which is good. If you're not familiar with the EVGA step-up program, basically, if you stay in the EVGA ecosystem and say you got a 20 series card and you wanted to upgrade to a 30 series card, that's part of their program. So it's nice that they will honor the original MSRP of these cards. So for example, price increase. So their RTX 3070 For the Win Ultra gaming card was $609. It's now $679. Their 3080 XE Ultra Hybrid Gaming was $779. It's now $869. And then the RTX 3090 For the Win Ultra Hybrid Gaming was $1799. It's now $1869. So we're seeing around $70, basically. A $70 increase on most cards, which isn't horrible. If we're going to see it across the board, I guess I'd say that's fair, right? Moving on to Zotac. They did not put out a statement that we know of. They just increased the price. And it's interesting. We have prices from December 18th, January 3rd, and then January 13th, and they go up each time. So their RTX 3060 Ti was $440. It went up to $500, and now it's $530. Jeez. Their RTX 3070 was $540. It went up to $600, and now it's $640. Their RTX 3080, $750, it went up to $780, and now it's 840. And then here's the kick. Here's the one that kicks you in the nuts. The 3090, which I actually have installed in my system right now, was 1550. It went up to 1580, and now it's 1900.
Yeah, that's the square kick in the nuts. That's horrible.
So most of these are around $80 to $100 increase, which again is kind of, if you look at Asus's price, it's the normal. But a going from 1550 to 1900, it's $350 increase.
That's crazy. So do you think we're going to see any, I don't know, lawsuits, like bait and switch, right? Like, because these cards came out a while ago, but the availability of them has been horrible, and like everybody's excited about them because they're priced, like it felt like they had fixed their pricing a bit, right? Mm-hmm. Prices weren't as high as previous generation, but nobody could get them, and when you could, you're either paying more anyways from a third party or whatever, and now, oh hey, we're gonna just raise the prices on these cards. And I also saw, you know, oh, we're going to have this stock issue resolved in the next couple months. So does that mean you're going to drop the prices then? Or are you going to keep them that high? It's almost a bait and switch feel to me. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel good to me. And it almost makes me like, do reviewers need to look at like reconsidering scoring on any of these cards? Because it might have been a 10, but now at the price point, you know, it drops it down. I don't know. What do you think?
That's the problem. Well, on our side, I can see, like, being a reviewer,
it's part of the score, right? And the evaluation we give it is related to price.
I just think that a $350 increase is not right at all. Yeah. If you're raising your other cards by 70 to 100, raise this card by, I don't understand that $350 is just crazy. Just crazy to me. Mm-hmm. For a graphic, like that much price increase for a graphics card. When all the other ones are going up by around 100 per se.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too much of a price increase. It's one, and I mean, sorry to say, Zotac, you didn't even put out any, nothing. You didn't just, put like, out did it. You just did it. I don't know. I also don't know how this is going to affect, like, I don't know if certain websites have like waiting lists, or, you know, you pay for it and it's shipping out at a later date. I would hope that, you know, they would honor the prices as far as that goes or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I know I've kind of seen this in like totally different market, like some trading cards and stuff for like collectible card games where like Magic, for example, like a card will spike in price or drop in price. And people are like, well, I already like pre-ordered this card from you at this price. And then you canceled and said, oh, I could buy it from you at the new price. Like that's horrible.
Yeah. So
I'm hoping that doesn't happen here.
Yeah. And again, this has a lot to do with it. I don't know. Again, I don't know enough about like the tariff thing, but it has to do with that. So I don't know, but a $350 price increase is just crazy.
Big.
Yeah, that's really, really big. So keep it. And again, this is like we're coming, you know, we're in the middle of January. I think February, end of February, going into March, the supply issue should be at least better. So it's hopefully, like, yeah, it kind of screws a lot of people who are thinking they're getting a card for a certain price. So. Don't know. That's just crazy. So
I guess you got more time to save up, right?
Apparently. Yeah. So as those come out, we will let you know. We definitely know EVGA, Zotac, and Asus. I don't know if Gigabyte MSI, all those other ones, I haven't looked if they have price changes as well. We'll definitely keep you guys updated on that.
You would think so, because if they're not, you're going to have people flocking to those companies to buy cards.
And the sad thing, the first thing I thought of is this is going to make the scalping thing even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like this card that was $1,550, I think it was actually $1,499, but I could be wrong. But anyways, this card that was $1,550 is now $1,900 retail, which means it's going to sell for double that. It's going to be $2,000 on eBay, right? For these crazy,
I mean, more than that. Yeah, if it's 2,000 now, I mean, it's going to be like
3,000. Yeah, 3,000. Sorry, I can't do math in my head. So yeah, it's going to screw everything up. But that's just the world we live in now, I guess. But at least if you're a company, put it out there, your price changes, and put out a statement at least, that so people know and are aware, not just like, oh, you know, I've been saving up for this card, it's $1,550, and then you go on the website and it's $1,900. You're like, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's, Derek said Bitcoin equals 39,000 right now. Yes, that's true. I actually started mining again.
No, man.
I have one of the test system with the 3080, and I've been using NiceHash to do it, mm-hmm. and it gives you like profitability. It says I'm making like almost $10 a day, and I can't imagine.
Okay.
And I can't imagine I'm using more than $10
worth of electricity
per day. Now, that gives you like your profitability or whatever. So I've been running it. I'm going to run it for like a week and then see how much money I've made and see if that actually equals that. But yeah, Bitcoin's going. It's been kind of going, but I expect it to go down. So I'll probably stop mining. But yeah, I have 3080 running it. So, you know, I see what happens. It's a little experiment that I'm doing. So every week we'll see how that goes. So,
okay.
But the big announcement, the one that we had been talking about, which not a lot of people might be excited about because we're more desktop people, but AMD did unveil their Ryzen 5000 series mobile processors. If you are looking to get a new gaming laptop, this should excite you a lot. So they announced Ryzen 5000U and Ryzen 5000H. The two big boys in the Ryzen 5000 Series H, which these are going to be in those like real big gaming laptops, like it's basically a desktop replacement, but it's a laptop. So bring this up here. So you have a Ryzen 9 5900HX, 8-core, 16-thread. It boosts up to 4.6 gigahertz, 20 megabytes of total cache, 45-watt plus TDP. So these HXs are allowed, overclocking is, you can overclock these basically. That's why it says 45 watt plus. So most mobile processors you cannot overclock, but these are going to be allowed to be overclocked, which is kind of exciting because you could see companies like Asus and MSI do some cool things with a laptop design to like, you know, like a turbo button, like where it would overclock, you know, and gave you a little bit more performance. And then you have the big dog, which is a little bit more powerful. It's the Ryzen 9 5980HX, 8-core, 16-thread. It boosts up to 4.8 gigahertz. It has the same 20 megabytes of total cache and 45-watt plus TDP. So these are going to be the big dogs, which are going to be in your gaming laptops. What do you think about that?
No, it's pretty cool. I was looking at Asus's their ROG site, and they had an article about, you know, some of the gaming laptops that are kind of come out of these. Yeah. I've got it actually pulled up and sharing here if you wanted to switch over. I mean, they've got, you know, these crazy dual screen systems.
Yeah.
Just insane what the performance, you know, like this Zephyrus Duo 15 SE, right? The 5900HX, up to an RTX 3080, 32 gigs of RAM, 2 terabytes of SSD, like, these are some powerhouse systems.
Yeah. So we didn't put it in the podcast because I didn't think, but all the big laptop names have been upgraded as well. So you're going to see Ryzen and new Intel CPUs, as well as NVIDIA RTX 30 series GPUs in these. That Zephyrus laptop, the one that's at the top of your screen, was like one of the big announcements. But there's a lot of really awesome gaming laptops coming out.
Yeah, there's just with
they're just insane. The amount of power that you're gonna have. I mean, if it's something that you're really into, you know, if you're a laptop person, they're just So the HX were like the big ones, but you still have like the HS series as well. Those are 35 watt TDP, again, 8-core, 16-thread. It is nice to have like that standard a like 8-core, 16-thread in a laptop now. It's like,
yeah.
You know, but we have the full list of the H and U series on the site that has everything, and it will give you all the information on these. And then the U series is the low power series. These are 15-watt TDP models for like the super thin in lights and things like that. So you have all the way down to Ryzen 3s. The difference with the U series is that some of these are based on Zen 2 and some are based on Zen 3. We actually have the thing here. We'll tell you, like, you know, the 5700U is based on Zen 2. Like, you know, it will tell you that. And this is like a good to see like the transition of what's being
phased, you know, what out or
yeah, what's replacing this. Yeah. So we also have AMD's full keynote if you want to watch it. It does have some cool stuff in it if you want to check it out, but it's in the article as well. But yeah, I mean, it like, I don't see the thing is, it's like, I would like one of these gaming laptops, especially that Asus one that you had shown, mm-hmm. but I don't need it. Like, I just wouldn't yeah. use it. That's the problem. You know, but they're so awesome. Like, all these are so good. New Alienwares, new MSI ones. Like I said,
Lenovo, I think, has some new ones.
Yeah, Lenovo has new gaming ones. Like, everybody has new ones, and they're so awesome. But I just wouldn't use.
Yeah, to just sit there. Oh, yep.
Yeah. So, moving on from that, we did not have an announcement of new Intel processors, but per our rumors that we had talked about for weeks, we did see every company announce their Z590 motherboards, which mm-hmm. is exciting. But I mean, there's no CPU launch, so it's not as exciting. And it's kind of like, I would like to see these in person. It's just like, I'm like a motherboard guy. But we did want to talk about a few of them. The first one comes from EVGA, and these look awesome. So they only announced two boards, which I like. I really like that EVGA keeps it extremely simple with their motherboards. There's not like 30 SKUs. Like, I think like Asus yeah. and Gigabyte and MSI have like 30 SKUs. But this is their first board is their Z590 Dark. That just brings back
the copper.
Like, I love seeing the copper. Yeah, it just brings back like that, you know. And this board has the spacing perfect for EVGA graphics cards. A lot of them are three slot, so you have the proper spacing for both of these. EVGA is a little different with their design. All the indents, everything's at a 90 degree angle, which makes things super easy to connect.
Does this board really only have... Okay, sorry. I have to interrupt. Are there really only two memory slots on this board and they're above the CPU?
Yes.
Instead of beside it?
They've done that with their dark board. So their dark board is like their very big overclocking board. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it's made for. So you would...
That's true. They don't want as much room around the CPU and they don't really care about filling it up with sticks.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, and you can see like, so for, to put your LN2 pod on here, like there's a ton of room. Yep. That's kind of what this board really is for. But yeah, you have like your dual, post displays, you have power reset, everything's at a 90 degree angle. You have all this, there's so much on this board. It's like your overclocker's dream board, basically. I just love the way this thing looks. It just looks. It's kind of like a very nice mix of like old school and new school, I would say. Wouldn't you say? I don't know. I just like it. But then toward like your more mainstream board, this is their Z590 for the Win Wi-Fi. I like this as well. 90 degree angles, not cutouts, but 90 degree angles on most things, which I like. Again, you're seeing the proper spacing for two graphics cards if you wanted to do it, or like a graphics card and like a add-in card for like NVMe or a sound card. Mm-hmm. It's proper spacing. I really like that they're putting this big heatsink here because it makes it easier to take out, like to change out your M.2s. They're like, you don't have like this little deal. I know this is probably one too, but like, I like that they're together. My Asus board has like two together and it just makes it super easy to replace both of them at once. So yeah, good stuff. I really like it. With Z590 compared to Z490, you're going to see Wi-Fi 6, which you saw a little bit on Z490, but not as much. Wi-Fi 6, you're going to see a lot more USB 3.2. A lot of boards will have USB 3.2 Gen 2 times 2 ports. So that will enable you to do super fast storage, 2,000 megabytes a second on portable SSDs, which I'm going to be a big fan of. So you're going to see a lot of that as well. We did want to show you the MSI ones, just a real quick. Every manufacturer is going to have their typical boards, their typical series. But I do like, I have to say, this godlike board looks insane.
I'm fully on board, other than, and this is always my complaint with MSI, the dragon. But other than that, yeah, I think this looks pretty cool.
I think we're going to see, especially with more of like the mainstream boards, like you can see over here, like you have the carbon RGB down here. You're going to see more RGB, not crazy like in your face RGB, but like
just little, accents.
Yeah, a little accents, a little different things. I'm always a fan of seeing how they take these, the carbon, the, you know, the Asus boards, the Tomahawk boards, like how they upgrade the design over time. So we're going to see it here. So I'm really excited for these boards. Again, every company has announced their boards. So if you want to see the Asus ROGs, the Aorus boards, it's all out there. You can go to their websites. So yeah, so if you are waiting for new Intel chips, which should be in March, these are the boards that will run them. So it's kind of weird to already have the boards with no chip.
I feel like it happens, though. It's not the first time.
The good thing is that all these boards are ready to go, right? Yeah. So you're not going to have delays. You're not gonna, like, everything's ready to go. Yeah, hopefully. So yeah, so that is exciting. More motherboards. I'm a motherboard guy. That's probably like my favorite piece of hardware, I think, is motherboard. So, yeah. Moving on to cases, there were a bunch of cases announced. We haven't seen a ton, but Corsair did have. I think I wouldn't say they're like going the NZXT route or even like the Fractal route, but there are their design has become, at least with this new series of cases, is becoming more clean, and they're focusing a lot on internal management, which I'm a fan of, because the easier it is to build inside of a case, that's what I want, right? I don't want something that's harder to build in. I want something that's easy to build in, easy for a first-time builder as well. And I think people who are looking at Corsair are a lot of people, like that's the brand that they want. There are a lot of times they're first-time builders. So they announced their 5,000 series cases. This is the upgrade to their 4,000 series cases that were released last year. So you have a 5,000D, a 5,000D Airflow, and then the IQ 5,000X RGB. So this one right here is the 5,000D. This one is the 5,000D Airflow, as you can see, because it has airflow, is made for airflow. And then this one is the IQ 5,000X RGB, which I believe will come with at least three. I think they all come with three.
I think it comes with a controller too.
Yeah.
I don't know if they all come with a lighting controller.
But the big thing with the internals is you have all of these like made for cable routing deals in here. You have the fan controller, which you can see right here, which is like wasn't normal for Corsair cases. You have these cable routing channels, which I think this is like a newer version of it, but we saw these for the first time in their 4000 series. You have this right here, which is interesting. This cooling bracket. We saw this type of bracket or this type of cooling really become popular on the Li & Li PCO11.
Yep.
And it just gives you more cooling on the side here. Of course, when you have the panel off, it has the cooling there. So I actually like these. I think that especially the white versions will be really cool. It is nice, and I think we're seeing this with so many companies now. You have you at least have a flashy version, and then you have a high airflow, because every company went to super flashy, and then everybody was like, yeah, my system's okay. Like, these cases don't make sense cooling-wise. Unless you're doing like water cooling. So I think that having the higher airflow is nice. on a lot of these. So yeah, so, and like, this is like, obviously like what the internals would look like, just very clean. Everything's covered. Like all of your cable routing holes are actually covered with this, I guess just a cover, I guess you would call it. Mm-hmm. But it just keeps everything cleaner. And I like that we're going more that route. Making it easier for people who are lazy like me to do a clean build and not have to clean up my cables as much. I'm a fan of that. So we have links to everything. The 5000D will be $164.99. The 5000D Airflow also $164.99. And the 5000X RGB will be $204.99. Based on those prices, I assume that all of the cases come with at least these three fans.
They've got to, yeah, for those prices.
And I think that the 5000X RGB might either come with an RGB controller or more fans or something else that's going to make it more, that much more expensive. Because that's a big price increase.
Yeah.
So we have links to the their product pages. But yeah, that was one of the cases that we saw there. I think that I like them. They're nice and clean. They're going to look good on your desk. So the other one that was interesting comes from a company not very well known for cases. But it comes from iBuyPower, and they have their mini ITX case called the Revolt 3 MK3. They need to name it something else.
Just Revolt 3 Mark 3.
It's just weird. So this looks eerily similar to the NZXT H1, which I don't hate.
No,
it for just that. Looks... I mean, as you, if you look at it, it looks very,
looks
very
like a worse version.
Sort of.
I hate to say that, but I'm not impressed, especially in that picture right there, with the red.
Yeah.
Like if you bring that up again, the texture of it looks, I don't know. I guess we'd have to see it to, I don't know.
Now, the thing that I do like about it, if we look at the exploded view of the case, is that it does have room for a 240mm AIO.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm a fan of. Because the H1, you get that, I think it's 140mm AIO for your CPU, but that's it. And that's still decent, but like a 240mm AIO, I assume, well, I guess you could make it do whatever you want. You could actually, I mean, if you got like a Seahawk card from MSI, you could essentially...
And that picture almost looks like you could do a 280. If you look at those fan mounts, like that looks...
Yeah.
Where those holes are, a 280 or a 240.
Yeah, so it's it has a little bit more space. I think the H1, I don't know how many liters the H1 is, but this is 18.4. I think the H1 is smaller. I think the H1 is 16.1.
Yeah, it's 280mm. It'll support.
280mm. So that's a lot of cooling power that you can have. And an 80mm exhaust fan at the top. So they're going to sell it as a standalone case, or you can build a system through iBuyPower, which iBuyPower is mainly known for a system integrator, a system builder. I kind of like it. And it makes it look like these are easy. These panels are easier.
It swivels out. It looks like it's hinged. Yeah. That's a door that kind of hinges open, which is nice.
Yeah. So I don't think this is going to sell like crazy because it's from iBuyPower, but I do like it. I do like that this is becoming, mini ITX stuff is coming a little more mainstream. I don't think there was pricing listed available at the end of Q2 2021. So cool stuff. I like that one. What else we have? So I always talk about this keyboard again. This is my baby. This is the IQNIX M96. Every podcast, I got to talk about it because I love it. In my opinion, I still think, like, now that I use that, the Ducky 1-2 Mini, like, I love a 60%, right? I absolutely love it. And if I didn't need the number pad, I would not use this keyboard, I think, because I love that little keyboard, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Asus has finally updated their ROG Claymore, which was one of their first gaming keyboards. And the interesting thing about this keyboard is that it's a 10 keyless keyboard with this detachable number pad. So when you're not using the number pad, you can just put it somewhere else.
Yep.
Which is really cool. And the really, really cool thing about it, and Asus did everything right with this. One, optical mechanical switches, which are technically faster than mechanical switches, but they feel like a mechanical switch. So you have that there. This can also be used wired or wireless if you want, which is awesome as well. So if you want that clean desk look, like you can see, if you want that clean desk look, you use the type C here. If you don't, you just turn on the wireless. I believe it's Bluetooth. You know, you can attach this number pad to either side. So if you prefer it on the other side, you know, here we showed on this side, but on this picture down here, you can see it's on this side. Comes with a wrist rest as well. It's just an awesome looking keyboard. I think that's they just saw, because like when I game, I want to use that smaller keyboard, but when I'm like making graphs and stuff, I want to use the number pad. Or, you know, if you're somebody who, like my friend who we were talking about pre-podcast, who works from home now because of the pandemic, like, you know, he needs a number pad for work, but when he games, he doesn't, you know, doesn't necessarily get that extra room. Yeah, so you just move the number pad out of the way, then you have this nice little keyboard on your desk. I mean, it's not super small, but it is a 10 keyless. So yeah, I like it. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I do like that numpad is wireless, especially, right? Like it's not confined to the other side. And I think I've seen some keyboards that do something similar, but they like click into the board, you know, and
yeah,
you have ports on the side, whereas this, you could kind of orient it however you like. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's really, really cool. I don't know if they listed. They did not list price. But yeah, I expect it to be in the over 100, 150 price range. But like I said, it looks like a really cool keyboard. So that was one of the cool things that kind of caught my attention from CES releases. And one other thing that was interesting, the reason I put this in our here is because I wanted to get your take on it, because we have so many M.2 heat sinks like built into motherboards. So we have this thing.
Yeah. Nah.
It's the most generic way to integrate
RGB, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
I think that we have most. So if you're building, like, even going back to Z490, X470, like most of the nicer boards had M.2 heatsinks that look good. Yeah. And there's not many solutions that if you would use them instead of the built-in M.2 heatsinks, they don't look good. They'd look out of place, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. I just don't think that they look that great. Now, if you have an older system that didn't come with M.2 or an older board, I think these kind of add a lot to it. Yes. But I don't think that
they're... Like, I love the SN750 from Western Digital, right? That heatsink that they worked on with
EK.
EK looks awesome. This, I don't know. And I don't like, at least that metal on the side should be black. Don't make it the silver. Not that you're probably even ever gonna see it.
Yeah, but... I agree. Yeah, so it's from Gilad.
I don't know if it's Gilad.
Yeah, this is their Glint ARGB M.2 SSD cooler, just announced. You can see how simple it is. This is the kind of tray that your M.2 would go in, and then you put the heatsink on top. Has ARGBs. With a diffuser, and it's obviously built in heatsink, so it's going to help cool your M.2. And then it has a cable that comes off that that you can connect to your motherboard. And I guess this is for power. I don't actually, yeah. There'd be a lot of extra cabling.
Maybe it's another. Yeah.
That's a lot of extra cabling, in my opinion, too.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cheap, though. Yeah, it's $16. So if you have an older system that has M.2s and you want to RGB it out, this was definitely a solution for that. So yeah, that's check that out for sure.
Cool.
And that brings us to the end of CES news. Like I said, I think I did see one thing that I didn't write an article on. We talked about it last week, was the OLED screens on laptops. Samsung did show theirs. The cool thing I thought was the webcam is under the screen.
Nice.
Now, the thing that I was thinking, though, you know how people are all crazy about security?
Yeah.
Like,
how do you cover that up? How you turn it off?
Yeah. But I do like that they didn't decide to, like, there's a couple companies that have put them, like, down at the...
Those are the worst. They just shoot up
your nose. Yeah, like, looks up your nose. So, I did see that. And because they decided to not put the webcam, like, in a bezel above, it's completely, like, bezel-less. Like, there's no bezel on it, which I'm a huge fan of. I'm trying to think if I saw anything else. I saw that Samsung came out with a new phone. I have an iPhone, so like it's not my thing. But it looked like it, like I said, it had like at least three cameras on the back or something crazy. So I don't know. Did you see anything else? CES?
No, I kind of like flipped through everybody's pages. I didn't like go to any central site or, you know, I didn't even sign up for. I got, you know, emails throughout the week from random companies, but I didn't even register. So I know there's stuff that we, you know, missed. One thing, though, that is kind of sad, and I was keeping an eye out, and I didn't go to their website yet. I meant to, was like every year at CES, InWin has like their crazy new case, you know?
And oh, yeah. I don't know that because Computex was canceled. Right.
So we didn't get to see like the crazy case in person, right? You always like see it online and then you're like, oh, there it is in person.
PK did have a concept case.
Okay.
That looked a lot like, what was the one case that was like, it was like a bent piece of metal from England. Oh. It looked similar to that, but it had a built-in res distro plate. It looked really cool. But it was a concept case. I saw it somewhere. Beyond that, yeah, it's so, like I said, it's so weird to cover CES from home. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not there and there's like, you know, we get bombarded with press releases and, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, you miss a lot, I think. Yeah. But I think we covered the big stuff, like I said. And there was no 3080 Ti announcement, which we thought we would get, fact that there is just that big, there is just like, again, there's a massive gap in between the 3080 and 3090. So I think that's going to come, I'm guessing now, probably the end of February.
Yeah. I mean, again, availability and then your pricing, like why release or announce something if you can't sell it to your consumers.
Mark Live in the chat said CES is a beast, best event ever. Mark Live used to come with us. He used to be part of the team. But yeah, it's just so weird being home, and the biggest thing we miss is seeing everybody, I think. Mm-hmm. Going to all the parties and dinners and all that kind of stuff, it's just so much fun. And
that's true, like my legs didn't get a workout, and
I've been going back to the gym, but like, I mean, CES is a workout and you barely sleep. And talking about what we have coming up next week, I'm still working on the review of the ASRock X570 PG Velocita. Newer, like second round, as I said, X570 motherboard. So I'll have that for you guys going on next week. Also, both Ryan and I both are working on videos. This case that's... Oh, wait. Can't.
Yep.
Nope. I'm so bad at this because I can't like.
Oh, put it under the guns right there.
Yeah. Oh, that's like a illusion that there's no guns there. This case right here, I'm working on a video of, and Ryan's doing a pretty cool video that's going to be very helpful to a lot of people, I think. So we have more videos coming out on the channel, so definitely stay tuned for all of that as well. And we also talk about. I did want to talk about a show I've been watching, but is there anything tech related? Any shows you're watching? Anything? That you
I did buy like So last weekend I was kind of cleaning out my workroom, like storage parts and stuff. And I was moved a box off of, I have like a rack mount UPS that sits on a metal rack in there. And the box I pulled off was pretty warm. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. And I feel the top of the UPS and it was pretty hot, like really hot. And I've replaced the batteries in it before. And so I knew it was time to replace them. I ended up not replacing the batteries. I just replaced that. So I got a 1000 VA 600 watt APC UPS with a little screen on them. Got them at like Office Depot in town. Nothing special, but turns out I was it's size similar to what I had in there, the rack mount. But it's got the screen so I can see like how many watts it's using and the percentage and the load and everything on it. So I'm only putting about a 25% load on it, if even that. And that's with like three NASs, you know, like there's quite a bit of hardware plugged into it. So I'm glad I wasn't over pushing the old one because I had no idea how many watts I was drawing or anything. But so I bought two of those, one to go in there to power all that gear. And then one to actually put on my PC here. I just haven't done it yet, but.
It's always good, like, so obviously, like, we follow, like, internals, PC hardware, but, like, just other stuff that, like, you eventually have to get and, like, upgrade, you know, over the years. And it's like, wow, like, this tech has come a long way. Like, even getting, like, a new, like, washer and dryer, you're like, whoa, like, this is, you know.
It's got an app and, yeah.
Yeah, it's got an app and I can do this and it's a smart microwave and I can, you know, do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Also, you had put on your social media that you came out of Fortnite retirement.
So
tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so last night I posted that I came out of Fortnite retirement because my son, who's 7, he got a Switch for his birthday back in September, and he's just been playing some, you know, Smash Brothers and stuff on there. And he's at that age where, you know, all kids know what Fortnite is, and they all think they know all the dances, and they, you know, him and the neighbor kid, they're always outside running around playing Fortnite and just this, that, and the other. And the neighbor kid plays and has an older brother who plays, and my son is the oldest at 7, and I'm like, you don't need Fortnite yet. Well, I kind of caved in this weekend and was like, all right, let's put Fortnite on the Switch, right? Like, you've got a time limit on there. And he's been playing it, you know, and he's a console peasant for now. but last night I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to fire it up and I'll play some duos with
you.
I was sitting here playing, on the screen, and he was standing right next to me with his Switch, right. Playing. And so it was awesome. It was really fun. We played like, I don't know, maybe 6 rounds. We had a second place and like, we got to the end and he was knocked down, and it was at a spot where I couldn't bring him up because there was, you know, like me and maybe one or two other people. And I killed one of their teammates with a grenade, and it was just me and this other, and we lost and got second place. And I like, you know, yelled and scared the heck out of him. Poor kid. He was like hasn't really experienced dad playing games. And then we ended up getting a win. So it was fun. It was all worth it for sure. So it's
awesome. That's you gotta build him a PC now.
I know. We'll get there.
I gotta
figure out some internet filtering and lockdown.
Yeah,
that's first, right?
So that's the big thing. Yeah,
wild, wild west internet. So
yeah,
but we'll get there for sure.
Yeah. Did he say if you were good or not, or was he surprised that you could play?
He's still a beginner, so
okay,
very much a beginner. So my skill set was pretty good. But he was like, one time he had, you know, he'd gotten knocked down and I had to revive him and was running towards the revive spot, and he was just like, oh, man, I can't believe I, you know, I'm down or whatever. Oh, and I was like, dude, it's okay. Like, I've been playing games since I was your age, right? Like, I haven't really stopped for any long amount of time. So not that I'm some hardcore gamer by any means, but
yeah. No, that's really cool that you can do that with your son. That's really awesome. No, that's fun. You know, I haven't played much games or anything, but I started watching Cobra Kai. Everybody's been talking about it. It's on Netflix. It's like the what do you call that? It's not a remake.
It's like a follow, kind of like a follow up. They're like checking back in on that.
It's like a what do they call it? It's not a relaunch. It's like a revamp. I'm thinking of the word, but I can't think of the word. But yeah, it's like Karate Kid, right? Yeah, it's Karate Kid. It's the remake or revamp of Karate Kid. Same actors. So the guy who plays Johnny and the guy who plays what's the guy's name? Or Johnny was the guy. Johnny was the bully. Who's the other guy? Daniel.
Danielson.
Yeah. Daniel. They're it's the actors from the would that movie come out in the '80s?
Ralph. What's his name? Marciano.
Marciano.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the 80s movie.
Yeah. Real quick. Old man's in the chat. He's usually here, but he said Jop just stopped in towards the end. Yeah. We're just talking about stuff we've done, and I'm talking about Cobra Kai on Netflix. But I think Ryan, you would like it because it's the perfect, at least, I mean, it's kind of cheesy, but it's like the perfect, like there's just enough of like newer stuff and enough of like nostalgia in it to make it like cool. And I know you like old stuff. You have, look at all, you got a bunch of stuff behind you. So
I have a Karate Kid bandana somewhere in here.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. And they do flashbacks to the actual movie, which is kind of cool too. Oh, cool. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. It's worth watching. I finished season one. I just started season two. So, and I think there is a third season as well. So if you have Netflix, check it out. We do have it linked in the show notes, the Netflix page, if you want to check it out. But, and yeah, Mark said hockey is finally back. Yeah, we talked about that in the beginning of the podcast. That's why we're podcasting on Thursday, not Wednesday, because I'm going to watch the Penguins, but they lost. So, but yeah, hockey's back. We're like slowly getting back to normal. Slowly, vaccines going out. Things are at least here. Like I said, the gym's opened. You know,
yep.
We are going to be doing some gaming, playing some Apex. No Fortnite. We should have a Fortnite night
revival.
Yeah, I'll install it again and do all that. But yeah, so we'll be
Old man says Battlefront 2 is free on Epic. I grabbed that tonight. It was, I don't know if it's like the full Battlefront 2. It was Battlefront 2 something. Anyways, it's like usually $40. It's free right now.
Oh, so, wow.
Through the 21st.
Yeah, Battlefront 2 on Epic. Can't ever complain about free games. And that's actually a fun game to play. I have it, but it is a really fun game to play. So yeah, head on over to Epic Games. Is this just Epic Games or is Epic Games Store? You can find it. Yeah. But it is free on there, so definitely check that out as well. We're going to be going over to Twitch, so twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, playing some Apex Legends. Ryan, I don't know, I think he'll be trying to build stuff or something that he's playing.
Yeah, okay, why can't I build a wall and a ramp here?
Yeah, so, but yeah, we'll be over there, so head on over there, and we will see everybody next week on Wednesday, not Thursday.